Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. I thought we could spend the night discussing nuclear preparedness because I've been buying a couple of things that I realized that if a nuclear explosion was to happen, I don't have everything needed to survive, and I wanted to be sure that if I ever find myself close to a nuclear explosion, although, you know, the first thing in nuclear preparedness is to live away from civilization, and so that if you can check that box, you are already in great safety. But you never know, and you never know what the winds will bring, because the fallout can extend to up to 100 kilometers in terms of radiation doses that would be inducing immediate effect, immediate radiation poisoning. So I will teach you today what I know about it, and how you can build a little shelter. Of course, I'm not talking here about surviving a nuclear explosion where it happens. If you live in a big town and this town is targeted for a nuclear drop, you're probably going to die unless you have a bunker that's underground, hundreds of meters underground, potentially. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how to survive in the radius, starting at a mile from the explosion up to hundreds of kilometers, hundreds of miles in the wind direction. It's quite impressive how ultimately there's, unless you are at the site of explosion, you are not in massive danger, and a couple of precautions will protect most people from suffering from radiation exposure. Before this, a quick review of the events of today in the Russian offensive campaign. I really like this blog because they make key takeaways that summarize the progressions of the day. As it seems, today was a day of relatively no progression, and the Russians have not been making major attacks. It seems that they are simply setting up for and coordinating for a restart of the attacks maybe tomorrow. Russian forces conducted no major offensive operations against the cities of Kiev, Kharkiv, or Mykolaiv. Russian troops continued to encircle, bomb, and shell Mariupol, so perhaps most of the action has happened here, and the Russians were neutralized in many places in the north. We've seen helicopters, missiles being downed by the anti-air defense of the Ukrainians. Russian forces east of Kharkiv and in northern Luhansk Oblast appear to be trying to link up. Russian troops around Kherson City are likely preparing to resume offensive operations against Mykolaiv and ultimately Odessa. So that is the progression, where they appear to want to take over Mykolaiv and then get to Odessa. Odessa would complete essentially the control of the southern border, if you include Mariupol, as which I presume Mariupol will very soon be rid of any resistance. However, who knows, you know. So the southern progression is very solid on the Russian side, and I suspect that there's not massive efforts on Kiev or the north in general, as long as the work is not completed south, in the south. So I guess we'll see more progression in the north once the south is ruled out. Lots of, yes, financial cancellation. Keith Richardson says, will a PayPal pullout or internet backup bone Cogent affect Russian citizens? I mean, today we've seen MasterCard and Visa. Now, it's widely being publicized as MasterCard and Visa will stop transactions with Russia. But the fact is, the credit cards within Russia will still work within Russia. But they will be stopping. The credit cards in Russia will not work outside Russia, and the credit cards outside Russia will not work in Russia, something like this. So it's not a complete disengagement, but it's quite massive in terms of the ability to have international expenses and deliveries, so quite important decision today. That's how it was announced. Visa, all transactions started with Russian Visa cards will no longer work outside the country, and any visas issued by institutions outside of Russia will no longer work within the Russian Federation. So as someone points out, so absolutely pointless, Russian Visa cards will still work in Russia. It's kind of bizarre. It's like, oh, well, you want to punish these people with financial punishment, but you're still going to allow the operations from within. But still, it's a massive isolation of Russia that we're seeing. And yes, it will impact, I guess, to a certain extent. It will impact the functioning of the everyday life of Russian citizens. However, I don't know that they were a particularly big importers of Amazon stuff and that kind of stuff. Someone is telling me the PayPal stock is dropping in price. Let's have a look. Yeah, well, it's been dropping constantly since a month and even more since a year. And yeah, so it has attained its peak in 2021 and it's been dropping since then. Yeah, but nothing major necessarily today. Do you want lunch? Says, are we expecting a nuclear explosion? I mean, it's with the messages of today of Putin. Putin threatens Ukraine with loss of statehood. And so he was saying that if the Ukrainians continue to defend the way they are defending right now, he says that it puts into question whether Ukraine will retain its statehood. So it looks more and more like a full invasion if he goes there. That's one thing. The second thing is he said that he considers it a declaration of war, the fact that that other countries are giving sanctions. So that means he considers that countries like America, all the Western European countries that have given sanctions have already declared war on Russia. So technically, that would legally, he would be entitled to use nuclear weapon by this standard, because nuclear weapons in the what they call the Russian doctrine of nuclear weapons mentions that nuclear weapons are only to be used against countries that have declared war against Russia or in interventions that happen outside of Russia but that threaten the statehood of Russia. So it's very easy to see that this language that he uses today is basically unlocks the possibility of nuclear strikes on anyone and any of the countries that have gotten into this this punishment of Russia thing. He also said that if any country was to impose a no-fly zone of some activity related to controlling the airspace over Ukraine, he said today that he would consider at that second, the second a jet was to do a no-fly type of activity, that is, shoot against a Russian plane, he would consider that they are directly engaged in the conflict. Now, those are all words that unlock the possibility of a nuclear war, definitely. Mama JF is coming. What's up, Mama JF?
Yes, isn't there supposed to be a war every 100 years?
Oh, yeah, the cycles of war, it's possible, so we have to prepare.
It's supposed to be, the because the last time like, there was the economic crisis in 1920. Maybe they want to do that.
Maybe we are due for a cycle of economic struggle and war and everything that's related to it.
Yes, you know what this means?
What?
It means... how do you call that? The golden age with the Charleston and everything.
The golden age will come?
Yes, after the war.
Okay, after the war. So you're already excited about the post-war excitement. You want to see what the new music will look like then?
Yeah, there's gonna be new music and everything. Oh my god!
Well, to enjoy the post-war music, you have to survive the nuclear holocaust, which is what we'll be talking about tonight. Go away, says Jeff. Is there going to be good money to be made as smuggler taking goods back and forth across the Russian border sounds fun. This we've seen plenty back in the days of the Soviet Union. I had a friend of mine, a colleague, who lived a part of his life under the Soviet Union, and there was a big market for jeans, apparently. Jeans were, it's like you could get them on the streets. Now, who knows in 2022 what does that look like? Because with all the technological means of surveillance, it may actually be harder to get a black market in Russia today than it was in the Soviet times. So who knows? By the way, join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me your questions and comments and support the show with super chats. Would you be prepared if a nuclear explosion happened around you right now? Yes or no? You will see what you will need to be relatively well prepared, although nuclear preparedness is never perfect. The only perfect thing is a true bunker worth millions of dollars. That's the only perfect nuclear preparedness. But what I will talk to you about is makeshift nuclear preparedness. So if you want a book on the subject, we had a friend of the show who came and I had read his book back then, CBRN, Surviving Chemical, Biological, Radiological, and Nuclear Events. Excellent book by Piero San Giorgio, the survivalist. It's a good place to learn a lot of things. First, we have to talk about the different types of radiations. So the nuclear radiations themselves are the particles alpha and beta. Those are the things that significantly differ from, say, so they are truly particles. They are particles that are emitted, that resembles the particles that form the atom, proton, neutron, electron. And these things are emitted because radioactive material like uranium, plutonium, whatever, these big atoms with lots of neutrons, lots of protons, lots of electrons, they are unstable and they unleash some alpha particle and some beta particle at a given rate because of their instability, because they can't hold together. Unlike the atoms that we know of, the smaller atoms like those that form gold, carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, those have much less of the particles inside of them, and they are stable, so they don't emit radiation typically, or they do so at a rate that you can ignore. The good news is that the alpha and beta particles aren't the big danger. They are very easy to protect against. The big problem is that they decay, and the particle could be stopped by, we'll see what the kind of material that can stop these things, but the particles themselves can be stopped by clothing, by wet towels. Wet towels will block a beta particle, and any bigger material will also block them. So they're not the problem. The problem is that they penetrate whatever they target, and then they generate a gamma ray. And the gamma ray is the main danger in the nuclear explosion. It's gamma ray that is secondary to these particles being emitted by the substances that are radioactive. Ariel Soares says, wet towels, absolutely. Water is a relatively good blocker of what is detected by the Geiger counter. So a Geiger counter right here, this is one I've bought. It's chargeable through USB. It is battery powered. The way it can be practical in an event is to determine when you can get out of your shielding, because there's three factors that the YouTube video I will refer to They will tell you there's three factors that you have to take into consideration to protect yourself from radiation. Time of exposure, so the amount of time you spend in front of the source, the distance from the source, and shielding. And so a Geiger counter can be practical in evaluating the quality of a given shield. If you do a makeshift kind of shack, or if you are choosing a position for such a shack inside your house. And it can allow you also to measure to what degree the fallout withdraws, to what degree eventually the radioactivity goes away around you. So, distance is the first factor, and you can control distance by living far from any site that would be targeted by a nuclear bomb. Unless there's an accident, sites that would be targeted by a nuclear bomb, there are two types, military ones and cities, big cities. So it would be a waste to send a nuclear bomb in some lost area of the North Pole with a low population density. For this reason, choosing where you live is the first factor of protection. The distance is the biggest factor of protection, because the distance from the source of radioactivity, as Dust Pnari indicates, in this video, which you'll have the link, and all of the links tonight will be in a HTML file that will be located in the description. The distance diminishes your exposure to radiation by an exponential factor, unlike time, which is a linear factor. So if you have a sacrifice to do between the distance and time, always go for the distance. Getting away by a given amount of meters will diminish by an exponential relation the amount of radiation you can take. So if you want the explanation of all of the types of radiation, this is a good source, and it tells you also the measures in terms of 1 rad, 1 MSV, what are these measures. What we have to retain is that there are alpha particles, beta particles, and neutrons that can be kicked by radioactivity, they travel very fast. The beta, I believe, are the fastest, and they go almost at the speed of light. The other particles are slower, but it doesn't matter. It's traveling around you, and it can be in the air. It can be falling onto a surface. The big atoms, of course, the alpha particle is just traveling until it bumps on something, and same thing for the beta particle. But the bigger atoms that are radioactive, they can just float in the air, and they can emit these particles at a given rate with a half-life. So depending on how much time you can spend in your shelter, this will eventually diminish after the initial explosion. But the main protection you need are against gamma rays. And in terms of exposition levels, basically a dose that can that is known to cause radiation poisoning would be a dose of around 500 MSV. So that's where you will have radiation sickness, 500 MSV approximately. That's where you will instantly be starting to feel sick, or in a couple of minutes. A little dose of radiation from nuclear radioactivity is around 4,500 MSV. So 4,500 MSV, the people we know who have been exposed to this level, half of them are dead approximately. So that's the level at which you have half of a chance of dying. And as far as sub-threshold exposure, those exposures that will not get you radiation sickness, you have at 250 MSV, that is the exposure expected, for example, for a Japanese worker who were working on the Fukushima nuclear leak. So it is a legal threshold that is acceptable for a worker. They can do their work in this environment, and it's half of what would be needed to get radiation sickness. However, those are not the standard in the US. For example, the standard in the US, I believe, are around 100 MSV or 50 MSV, not sure. But somewhere along those lines. So basically, they have upped the legal limit in Japan because they were handling this crisis. Go away, says Jeff. Didn't you review a scientist that debunked all this stuff? That guy would swim and drink radiation. Yes, I reviewed this guy, and I said it was bullshit. So, so yes, I believe in radiation. It's one thing to review, but if you end up saying, okay, this guy is saying bullshit, then I will keep living my life as if radioactivity was dangerous. It's dangerous, but it's... We probably are too afraid of it, in the sense that a nuclear explosion, and I will show you modeling for what happens over the area when a 1 megaton bomb explodes. And if you're against the wind, i.e. if the wind doesn't carry the particles in your direction, you're safe within a couple of miles. So it's already quite impressive. For a 1 megaton bomb, you might survive it with nothing to complain about, say 7 miles away from it. But that's if the wind doesn't blow your way. On the other hand, if the wind blows your way from the site of the explosion, we're not at 7 miles. We're at radiation sickness up to 100 kilometers potentially. Even more potentially. So Captain Smith says Jeff should debate that guy in Academic Agents chat who says nukes are fake. Well, yeah, nukes are not fake. Geiger counters exist. Alpha radiation exists. And gamma rays exist. All right, let's look at this guy. I like this guy because he answered a question that I wanted to know, which is, What are the substances that we could have to block some of the effects of radioactivity? Now, the substances that he's about to test are not good for blocking gamma ray. But I wanted to have a first approximation of, can aluminium paper do anything? Can a wet towel do anything to a Geiger counter that counts, say, beta particle? He's going to show us.
Hello. We were watching the news tonight about the Japanese nuclear disaster, and we saw people in the streets of Japan carrying large sheets of cardboard over their heads which looked like tinfoil on top of them, and it looked to me like they were trying to prevent radiation from...
Well, okay, it goes on to explain, but let's get to the test here. I just want to show you what he does. So he has some uranium there. He's going to try to put aluminium foil, 16 fold of aluminium paper.
16 layers of tin foil, fold it up.
Zero effect.
That doesn't do anything. As far as I can tell. Really.
So it's important to understand that the reflectivity aspect of aluminium is extreme. But it's for radiation, it's for electromagnetic radiation, it's for light. So light bounces off polished aluminium paper perfectly almost. So that's why it's such a good thing to have in your walls. That's why a lot of material, the silver boards, material for insulating the home, are very good when they have a thin layer of aluminium paper, because it reflects all the electromagnetism. However, nuclear radiation is not electromagnetism, so it's basically useless in terms of blocking beta or alpha radiation.
Very, very, not a very significant reduction in radiation at all. Now, if we take a larger a more substantial piece of metal.
Now, this is important because this is the kind of piece of metal you could have in your kitchen. So could you protect yourself from at least the beta and alpha particles with just material from your kitchen?
Here's a double-layered cookie sheet. That does quite a bit. There is without it. It slows it down quite a bit. I would guess maybe 20% of the, or blocking like 80% of.
So just a pan like this, not bad. If you can have a couple of those, and if you're really short on time, and yeah, people are reporting that the stream has died. The stream will be back up. Couple of seconds. I don't know what's causing this. It looks like it's the connectivity on the side of Odyssey. And one moment. Refresh the stream if you have less connectivity. It looks like it's Odyssey. They have to fix this because it's really not pleasant for people to be losing connectivity during a live stream. In any case, so what we see is that a cookie pan, not so bad in terms of blocking alpha and beta. However, it does nothing, it does close to nothing in terms of blocking gamma rays. So there are tools that you can use, but keep in mind that if there's lots of gamma rays around you, you're still in trouble. Now, and yes, just like it always does this, it's like two times. We're going to lose connection again, and we're going to be back in 10 seconds. It looks like a signature way that Odyssey, maybe they're restarting their server and or whatever. I don't know what's causing this. I will have to investigate because my internet connectivity here still working. So there is something with Odyssey specifically. Too bad. I hope that most people are back now. Real Talk Radio says, Jeff, if the war goes nuclear in Ukraine, how bad will it affect Canada? Well, the effect from a bomb in Ukraine on Canada will be minimal, probably inexistent. So what I'm talking to you about, if you are in North America, you don't really have to worry that much about nuclear explosions happening in Europe. But what you have to keep in mind is there's the possibility that the alliance that countries are forming by funding Ukraine, that in and of itself is a potential threat for a nuclear strike on North American territory. So that's what I would advise to prepare for. As I will show you, the range in which you have to be worried from a nuclear explosion goes up to 100 kilometers approximately. Beyond that, it will be easier and easier and up to trivial to cover yourself. And when I say 100 kilometers, I mean in the direction of the wind, in the worst direction you could be. I will show you once we get there. I have models for 48-hour exposure after a 1 megaton nuclear bomb. But now that, just to finish on the radiation shielding material. So if you want to build a cabin, we've seen what the cookie sheet can do, but that's just on alpha and beta. It doesn't do much to gamma. To block gamma rays, you need mass. You need something that's heavy. That's why lead is the most efficient blockade. But you probably won't have lead. At best, I think that if you're lucky, you're going to have steel that you can form a cabin with, but most likely you will truss concrete. Now, concrete is much less efficient than steel. So this is the halving distance in inches for gamma ray. So what does that mean? It means that if you have 0.4 inch of lead, you will be chopping off half of the gamma rays coming to you. Now, if you have double that, what happens is that whatever was remaining after the first 0.4 inch, 50% of the original dose, it's going to filter another 50%. So when you double the halving, you divide your halving by another halving. So you end up with 0.25 if you had two layers of that. Now, look at concrete. 2.4 inches of concrete would have the dose of gamma ray. That's so if you can gather, first, if you can locate your shelter in a basement, you will already have the foundation concrete that will count for about 8 inch, or maybe you have a thicker foundation, but very often we'll see 8 inch, 10 inch. So if you have 8 inch in your in your concrete walls of your foundation, you already have enough to halve your gamma ray exposure by about 3 to 4 times. So if you calculate 3 to 4 times, the first will be 0.5, then 0.25, then 0.125. So you've already diminished by 90% your exposure to gamma ray. So if you build anything, build it in your basement, and then what you have to care about is the top. You have to count the fact that there will be gamma rays coming from the top that will not be filtered by your concrete. So how would you do the top? Well, if you have lead, go for it. That's nice. But if you just have, for example, Durac sheets of concrete, you can stack them one above the other until you reach 2.4. That would cut 50% of the rays coming from the ceiling. If you can stack them up to 5 inches, that would mean you can reduce by 75% your exposure to gamma ray from the top. Do you have to build a cabin that's 4 walls and a top? Perhaps you do. Depends on how much time, how much resources you want to dedicate to this. If you do go for a small cabin that has thick layers of concrete all around and on top, one other factor to consider will be ventilation. The problem being, potentially there will be radioactive material floating in the air, potentially deposited on the dirt around you. If that is the case, you don't want to bring them inside your shelter. So one way you can do this is to have air conduits that don't directly lead inside. You could have air conduits with N95 filters at an angle, perhaps, or with these filters, these big filters that they sell for ventilation system of houses, and you filter the furthest away you can from the from the shelter to bring the air into the shelter. So that gives you an idea. Now, of course, perfect protection or close to perfect protection would be a protection factor of 1,000. But as you see, you're not going to reach that unless you build something massive. Because to reach 1,000, you would need 24 inches of concrete. You would basically be fully safe in that shelter if you had basically 2 feet of concrete protecting you. But you don't need this. Most people survive at a couple of miles from a nuclear explosion. And so what you most likely want to do is just reduce your exposure so that you don't suffer from health effects long term from it. One example of just to see how much radiation were people exposed to. Cloud Warmer says, a good video about what JF is talking about is here.
Okay, here are the halving thicknesses of some common materials. Lead, 0.4 inches or 1 centimeter. Steel, 1 inch or 2.5 centimeters. Concrete, 2.4 inches or 6 centimeters. Packed soil, 3.6 inches or 9 centimeters.
There you go. All of the information that we've already seen. Tillman says, CRP did a two-hour live stream. Pretty informative. Yes, another amazing stream by Coach Red Pill. He talked about Zelensky and the fact that he's a puppet and a fraud. And yeah, it's great to hear about Coach Red Pill from this war zone. It's always great to hear from him. To see the kind of levels of exposition that people had in in a situation. In this case, this was the Chernobyl accident. So there were the people who were around the site who were liquidators, and they were highly exposed. They would have had more than 100 MSV. Now, to give you a comparison, if you get a whole body CT scan, however, we don't often do this, but if you were to get it, you would be exposed to 12 MSV. If you get a mammogram, you are exposed to 0.13 MSV. If you look at the evacuees around the Chernobyl area, they've received 33 MSV. If you look at residents close to the area, they've received 50 MSV. Residents from low contamination areas, that's more across Europe, but who were kind of under the fallout, they would have received 10 to 20 MSV. So that gives you an idea of the range of events that we've heard about already that we've known. Now, just to show you a simulation of a 1 megaton bomb, that is from the article Radioactive Fallout, the Medical Implications of Nuclear War. That gives you the spread in terms, and the measure here used is rad. So one rad equals 20 MSV in term, if you measure them in terms of gamma rays, and equals 200 MSV if you measure them in terms of beta particle, I think. So that gives you the zone that will be exposed to 100 rad, the zone that will be exposed to 300 rad, the zone that will be exposed to 1000 rad, and it gets smaller and smaller, and at the very center here, you are exposed to 10,000 rad. So that's a nuclear bomb exploding. And then they have modeled wind on a relatively flat surface. So there's all sorts of considerations. A mountain will totally protect you from a lot of the radiation and a lot of the fallout. Patterns of wind will totally protect you. Look at this. You could be right here. You could be right here, let's say, 10 kilometers away from the center of the explosion, and you'd be basically safe. You wouldn't even be exposed to 100 rad. Now, 100 rad, you multiply by 20 to get the exposure in terms of MSV. So that would be 2000 MSV. 2000 MSV would be some kind of exposure that you certainly don't want. You could have radiation sickness. But you could survive it because the rate of death at 4,500 MSV is 50%. So if you were in that area here, you would be exposed enough to have radiation sickness, potentially suffer disease, potentially die, but not likely to die. If you were here, you would have, instead of 2,000 MSV, you would have 20,000 MSV. You'd certainly be dead here. Now notice, if you're here, the wind carried the radioactivity to you, and I don't know that the scale is right here, so I don't know where that lands, but here you would be at around, what? Let me measure it with my thumb here. About 30 kilometers. So within 30 kilometers, you can be, if you are standing outside, not protected by the walls of your house, if you are truly breathing the air and that it's a relatively flat surface, you could potentially die up to tens of kilometers from a bomb. It's all about the wind patterns and how much protection you have. So that's for a one megaton bomb. And of course, it's not realistic in the sense that it's if you were standing in a field and staying there 48 hours and be exposed to all the radiation that comes to you. Of course, people survive much more than this because people hide. People hide in shelters. They hide under things that control the pattern of wind. So there's really no one standing in a field for 2 days getting all that exposure. But potentially you could die, even being 30 kilometers away if the wind is against you and the geography is against you and you do nothing to protect you. Tillman says, Jeff, we are losing minutes in buffering. I'm sorry. Sometimes Odyssey is not perfect, but we are married to Odyssey. We have chosen this platform, and this is where I will keep performing my shows. And for these nights where it doesn't go well, I will be uploading, of course, the full video, and it will be available like 5 minutes before the end tonight of the live. So you'll be able to review it after. Go away, says JF. In this era of on-demand food delivery, is there a viable market for millennials and Zoomers who wish to outsource their nuclear preparedness? No, you can't outsource nuclear preparedness, because when there's a nuclear bomb, you can't trust anything anymore. That's one thing. Talking about food delivery, this is actually an important aspect. You can have a beautiful shelter, but what you're going to keep in mind is you're going to have to stay alive in there and try to get out as little as possible until you can assess the safety and until the fallout has went away. And the way you accomplish that is by having reserves of food, ideally in the most protected parts, but at times you may have to get out of your shelter if something is missing. And then you'll go with your Geiger counter, you'll go with your understanding of where the explosion has happened, and you'll be able to grab some stuff, perhaps in other parts of the house, perhaps even outside. It depends on the level of radiation. Fractal Man says, nuclear bombs can cause an electromagnetic pulse. Do you have any insight into how damaging that might be, assuming, say, a 1 megaton bomb? I haven't looked into this, the whole idea of electronics going wrong. My guess is that much of the regular protections of a house probably protect from most of this. The only thing you really need to protect yourself from, because I think that most, even just the shielding of an electronic device is already quite extensive. Look at a computer. I mean, it's metal all around. It's basically a Faraday cage. I would be very surprised if this caused any issue to your material. Although, you know, I'm sure also that there's... The thing is, the distance at which the electromagnetic explosion will be important enough to wreck your material is probably way smaller than the distance at which your material will be burnt anyway. So there's probably something like a magnetic effect within the region that gets totally blown away by a nuclear bomb. But you're going to be blown away anyway. So I don't think you have to prepare any special way for your computers and stuff, although I don't know about it. But my guess is if you're at a couple of kilometers away so that you don't fully burn, you're going to be okay with electronic stuff. That would be my guess with my understanding of electromagnetic fields, which is that they don't extend over extreme spatial distances. You would need a lot of power to have a kilometer-wide magnetic field. Cloud Warmer sends another super chat, and thank you so much, Fractalman, for supporting the show. Cloud Warmer sends 25 LBC. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, many people, such as Yuri Bezmedov, have said that normies in the West would most likely die in the panic after the blast rather than the blast itself, as they are untrained, uneducated, and driven by emotion. Would you agree with this? Should we also consider the actions of the normies? Oh, definitely. I agree with this. I think that, you know, let's forget about the shelter. Your house and the way it is built pretty much has all of the things you need to survive a nuclear explosion from a certain distance. Like, consider here. You get 100 rad. So let's say you are 100 kilometers from a 100 from a 1 megaton bomb. You're right here. You're going to get 100 rad, basically. Or you're going to get a little more than 100 rad. This, if you are standing in the field, you could survive it. If you're in your house, you're almost certain to survive it. I mean, you're almost certain to go through it without much sickness of any kind. You may not even notice that it happened if it wasn't that you'll have heard the bang and seen the flash and heard the news. So the house already with wood around you and concrete around you if you're in the basement has much protection. That would still be valid in areas that are as close as 3-4 miles or as far as 20-30 miles if you're in the wrong direction. Gray says, Jeff, did you watch the 2019 show Chernobyl? It touched on a lot of these subjects. I didn't. But I will if it's an interesting movie. So in terms of conversion of the units, depending on your Geiger counter and if you want to know the dangers, at which level is it dangerous? For X-rays and gamma rays, 1 rad equals 10 MSV. For neutrons, 1 rad equals 50 to 200 MSV. And for alpha radiation, helium-4 nuclei, 1 rad equals 200 MSV. So if you want to calculate the general danger, you keep in mind that you're going to get radiation sickness at around 500 MSV. And if you can stay there for below 250 MSV, you're going to stay within the safety boundaries set by, say, the Japanese government. Or if you want to go down to 50 or 100, you're going to be below the standard for nuclear workers in America, for example. So that's what you should aim for. Artemis says, Jeff, how easy is it to nuke Canada? Do you trust our defense systems? Can Russia reach us? My guess is Canada must not have massive. Canada must not have massive air defenses. I wouldn't trust them with protecting me. So I think that much of the protection of Canada in general stems from the fact that we are allied with the US. So the US probably actually monitors Canada better than Canada does themselves. And secondly, we are spread out on territory. So that's my protection, is the fact that I live in an area that, you know, when you consider Russia as 6,000 nuclear bombs, I think there's literally 6,000 other cities on Earth that would get targeted before my house gets targeted. Literally, I don't think I make it to the list of the top 6,000 first strikes on the list of Russia. So by living in isolated regions, you are gaining a lot of protection already from being targeted. Now, as far as the substances that you can get for nuclear preparedness, I have bought some potassium iodide. It seems that this is actually a search term that is now popping up on Google. It seems that it hadn't reached that level of search since 2009 or 2008. Potassium iodide. The reason being, the iodide in the environment ends up being radioactive after a nuclear explosion, and much of the danger stems, as I've explained before, from getting radioactive material inside your body. And then, even if you have your shelter, your protection, you're in walls of concrete, if it's inside your body, the problem is it has continuous effects. It generates radiation inside of you, and it can kill you. Now, potassium iodide is a pill or a liquid that you can take when you know you've been exposed, or if you know you're about to be exposed to massive amounts of radiation. And what it does is it occupies your... I forget the name. You know, the organ here... oh my God. The thyroid gland. So because it's a non-radioactive version of the molecule, it comes, it occupies it, and it fills, so your body is not looking, your thyroid is not looking for further iodine. The problem being, if your thyroid is in the need of iode, and the only source it can find is the environment where there's lots of radioactive iode out there after the nuclear explosion, then you're going to be filling your thyroid gland with radioactive iode. So it's really a natural kind of supplement of food that, by simply occupying your thyroid, will keep the one from the environment, the one that would be damaging to you, from entering and installing itself inside of you. Definitely not something you want to take lightly, because there can be side effects to these things. So you really take them only if you absolutely need to. You don't take them, certainly not, like if you don't know that you're going to be faced, that you're going to be faced with a nuclear exposition. And yes, there are higher doses. It's available. I mean, this is as a supplement. And don't necessarily take the one I've taken as a picture. That's just an example. That's not the one I bought. Yeah, look for the concentrations in terms of milligrams of potassium iodide, and you'll know what you need. All right. So, what else do we have in the news today? Well, let's have a look at the developments on the map of Ukraine. There were a lot of counterattacks. We have seen missiles and helicopters being taken down by the Ukrainians. We have seen the development of a humanitarian corridor to get people, civilians, out of Mariupol. That was the project for today. However, it seems to not have been working. And it's not clear whose fault it is, because on the Ukrainian side, they say, oh my God, they made a humanitarian corridor, but they started shooting. The Russian troops started shooting. And on the other side, there are rumors that, you know, part of this is caused by the Azov battalion and how they gain in keeping civilians inside those places to use them as shields, you know, just from a publicity perspective to show that civilians are hurt. So I don't know which side is wrong on this. I'm not going to believe any side. We are in the total fog of war. But what we do know is that a lot of civilians have been told that they couldn't exit through the humanitarian corridor because the hostilities somehow have been maintained. We just don't know exactly who's at fault here. Small explosions, but as was noted in the blog post that I've reviewed at the beginning of the show, No major advancement, simply logistical improvements, and Russia trying to install themselves around Mykolaiv with the goal of eventually getting to Odessa. Some pictures from the day is that a mother with a with a big gun with her children walking to some place. Quite impressive. Breaking Ukraine, also that was earlier today. Mi-24 helicopter getting shut down. Let's have a look at this air defense system of the Ukrainians. You've seen here that there was a missile and boom, it touches the helicopter. Let's see it again. And the helicopter is down. Go away says, is entropy down? I wanted to ask a question. It seems that entropy somehow restarted, so that's why it's looking down. But let me reawaken it for you. There it is. It is back online. So sometimes entropy, they restart their server and we lose the online aspect of it, but now it's back on. Russian fighter aircraft downed. I think it may be another angle on the same event, perhaps, or maybe it's a separate one. So at times the people driving these Russian aircrafts are dying, and we see photos of them. At times they get captured. Some of them got captured today. Unfortunately, yes, the poll is gone. Let me redo the poll on entropy. Would you be prepared for nuclear survival right now? Yes or no? I think that most people were not prepared. Go away says, does muscle and or fat do anything to protect your vital organs from radiation? Should we all be bulking at the moment? Presumably, all mass will block irradiation, will block a gamma ray, and it's just how much it weighs. So technically, I'm sure that fat just blocks gamma ray by the same relationship that anything with the same weight would block it. Basically, it's a matter of mass. The more mass you have, that's why lead is so efficient. It's because it's the most massive material. That being said, no, having more fat will not protect you, because you can have cancer in any pieces of your body, including in fat parts of your body. So even if you're fatter, you're going to block the radiation from going to your organ, but you're going to suffer from health troubles that will relate to any effect that the radiation has in your body under your skin. I mean, you can have skin effect, you can have fat effects. So no, it's not a solution. Map of the approximate situation in Ukraine. So we can see the lines of progression are pretty much similar to yesterday. Mykolaiv getting circled, probably advances here to get around it and to be on its western side. And these lines are advancing for the eastern front to Kiev. And of course, Mariupol is totally encircled. It's getting bombarded. In fact, today it was still the most bombarded place, as most places had relaxed on their bombardment activities. Google searches for iodine pills skyrocket. Russia's invasion of Ukraine and President Putin ordering nuclear deterrent forces to be placed on special alert has scared the bejesus out of many in the Western world who are now panicked, searching where to buy potassium iodide in case of nuclear war. Potassium iodide can help block radioactive iodine from being absorbed by the thyroid gland, therefore protecting the gland from radiation injury during a nuclear incident. So, very interesting. Demidov village, Kiev, after some amount of bombardment, they have been affected.
Ось це наші сусіди. Це сестри гараж. Це літня кухня. Там жили у них кілька сімей. Вони там жили. З цього боку гараж, там кімната.
All right, so lots of destruction all around the region of Kiev. We have seen some civilians escaping the Kiev region by foot. They were gathered at some point below a broken bridge. And look at them, they are all walking out. So those are escaping by foot from the Kiev region. Lots of people, at least there was more than 1,000 people just in the picture. US tells all Americans to leave Russia immediately after Putin dials up threats. The State Department on Saturday updated its advisory for American citizens in Russia, urging them to leave immediately. It comes after a prior notification from the embassy on Wednesday, which advised that they should consider exiting the country. Do not travel to Russia due to the unprovoked and unjustified attack by Russian military forces in Ukraine, the potential for harassment against US citizens by Russian government security officials, the embassy's limited ability to assist U.S. citizens in Russia, COVID-19 and related entry restrictions, terrorism, limited flights into and out of Russia, and the arbitrary enforcement of local law. U.S. citizens should depart Russia immediately. This couldn't be clearer. You have to leave Russia or you are on your own. Some people feel that they will be okay in Russia. I guess you have to make a choice, basically, because there will be a separation between the Western world and Russia going forward. I mean, you can't even win the Special Olympics, if you're in Russia at this point. So they're cutting visa transfers across countries. MasterCard is off. It's not looking good. So you have to make a choice. If you stay in Russia, you could be spending the rest of your days there. Justet says, so will Snowden now be given a free pass back to the US with immunity from prosecution? Not at all. I don't think so. I think that Snowden is an example of a guy of what Russia has been doing, which is play the question of liberty on the West and play this card, you know, say, oh yeah, these guys are dissidents of America and they find a home in Russia. So I think that was brilliant of Russia to do this. I think they should do this more. I think there should be more this. If Russia can be an umbrella for Western dissidents, it kind of demonstrates that this whole perception that the danger is to be in Russia, that the US likes to push and the media likes to push, it kind of reverts that on its head. People were sharing videos of the attack of Iraq, I believe. This is Iraq being attacked by America, just to compare in terms of, is Russia particularly barbaric? So, yeah. It looks like this is how attacks are made. And if anything, we could say that comparatively to the USA, when the USA dominates a nation, Putin has been comparatively restrained and reasonable. In Irpin, near Kiev, Russian military vehicles have been observed. So we're seeing these military vehicles closer and closer to residential areas. Here they are, very close to Kiev. Irpin, that was a place that was bombarded a couple of days ago. Now we're seeing the tanks rolling in, so it looks like there's lots of repositioning around strategic positions for the Russian army. President Volodymyr Zelensky thanks Elon Musk for Starlink systems for destroyed cities. I'm grateful to him for supporting Ukraine with words and deeds, Zelensky said in a tweet early Sunday. Next week, we will receive another batch of Starlink systems for destroyed cities. Okay, it's kind of a weird way to phrase it. I felt like he was thanking him for destroying the cities, but no, it's... So those Starlink systems are being used to communicate in cities that have been destroyed. Spud Ruckus says, Jeff, have you been paying attention to the markets? And do you have any knowledge of how this potentially affects world markets? It's extremely complicated to say. I think it can have massive effects. I think the effects are not necessarily all bad. Of course, what we've seen is gas increasing massively because of the uncertainty around the future of the demand and offer for fuel and whether it will be possible at all to have a global fuel economy and how Russia being cut out of the West will impact all this. So, of course, in this context, commodities are increasing. That's what's to be expected. But, like, tomorrow morning, there could be peace talks that end up working, and you could end up finding that Russia was not so confident in its positioning and decided to sign away half of Ukraine, or maybe just go back to to the People's Republic of the Southeast and give up the rest. You don't know how all of this can impact the market because you don't know when it will happen, and you don't know how big it will be when it happens. You don't know how many concessions, and you also don't know whether Russia will recover quickly. Let's say Russia was to get a peace deal tomorrow morning. Would Visa and MasterCard suddenly undo their ban? Or would it keep going for years? No one knows. So it's very hard to give you a prediction on the markets. But my general approach is it will be... The mood is apocalyptic. And so expect apocalyptical types of variations. Extreme fear, extreme variation. Clearly, you know, the fuel and the oil aspect of this all is an illustration of massive apocalyptic type nervousness on the market. We could see further drops of the stock market because in a falling world, in a world at major war or major confrontation with Russia, there will be no place for companies to be making money in the service industry and that kind of crap. So expect all of this potentially, but you know, all of this could also settle down very cleanly and things could go back to some kind of normal, even some kind of bullish context. On my side, I don't have to think about this too much because I know that Bitcoin, in any case, if it doesn't go into further bullish context right now, it will go in 3 years, 4 years from now. So I'm just keeping my Bitcoin. That's my strategy. Because I know that Bitcoin will be good in a world that falls, and it will be good in a world that doesn't fall. One moment, I'm sneezing. All right. Artemis sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, wokeness will destroy us all. Virtue signaling brought us to this point. Yes, but at the, yes, the mob that was turning against the white man for the last many, many years has found an enemy that they like, an enemy that they all coordinate against, and it's Vladimir Putin. So definitely the kind of the anti-white approach that we've seen in the left for the last few years is now being reworked, and you can see that it was kind of a practice, a repetition, and now they're showing their full hand and they're going straight at Russia with everything they got. But I think that Russia will be resilient. I think they must have been preparing for this. And anything that we deprive them of, they will eventually develop the independent way of producing it. They will have their own scientists. They will have their own engineers. They will have their own manufacturers. So I don't think that we will drag Russia into the ground. To the contrary, I think we will contribute to its rise further and its obtaining of a true sovereignty and a sovereign capability to fend for itself. Close the skies or give us planes, Zelensky tells US House and Senate in Zoom call. Zoom call was first time since the Russian invasion began almost a week and a half ago that Zelensky addressed both houses of the Congress in a major appeal. He took the opportunity to reiterate his call for a no-fly zone, but this has already been answered. People don't want this. NATO doesn't want this. So I don't think it's going to happen. Elon Musk says that he will not cancel Russia from the internet on his Starlink satellites. Look at this. I want to do unless at gunpoint. Elon Musk rejects the government's request to ban Russian news. That is very interesting. A stand for a kind of net neutrality in the skies. So, you know, European governments have been going after Russia Today and that kind of stuff. The European Union has been abolishing Moscow-backed news outlets. And Elon Musk is saying, no, the sky will be free of that kind of attacks on the net. Now, I don't know. Is Elon Musk depending on remaining legal in Europe? Because what does that mean for Starlink going forward? Will they say you can't offer the Starlink service in Europe? And if he keeps allowing to give the service, will they start going at him with sanctions and fees? I don't know. But it's an interesting stand, and I too, I'm totally against the cancel culture, especially as applied to things like the internet, the domain name system, that kind of stuff you can't touch. It's net neutrality. Doesn't Russian oil smell of Ukrainian blood? Kyiv minister asks Shell. So people, you know, the mob on Twitter, every day they're getting to a new company and they're getting them to cancel Russia. Today it was Shell. And so they were like, Shell, you've bought some Russian oil. The thing is, Russian oil is so hated. It's now the cheapest oil in all the world. I mean, you can buy it for really cheap. So Shell said, ugh, that's really cheap oil. I'm going to buy some of it. And as a result, people started complaining against Shell. But Shell ended up saying, okay, what we're going to do is we're still going to buy the Russian oil because we do have to provide to our customers. But we will be paying the difference in the price because we're saving a lot of money by buying from them since no one wants to buy from them. And we're going to use that extra money to give to Ukrainian refugee causes. It's weird as a position because you're saying my money will contribute to the problem, because from the perspective of leftists, any amount, any dollar that gets into Russia now gets into aggression of Ukraine. So you're saying I'm going to keep sending my money where the problem is caused, and then I'm going to try to alleviate the harm of the problem that I'm causing. It's from a leftist perspective, it's driving them crazy. That's why they're they're taking shell to the woodshed. They're not happy about this. Watch aerial footage of clashes with Russian forces in the city of Bukha near Kiev. So we're seeing some bombs being dropped here, their effect right here. We're seeing some flashes here. Something is up. Oh, is it an effect of the camera? No, there may be small explosions, I guess. All right, so it gives us an idea of what's happening around Kiev here. A truck completely on fire. We have seen some impressive movement on the side of Russia. Inside Russia right now, there are trains. We've seen, it was the camera. It was a camera effect that I was pointing to with my mouse. In any case, we've seen inside Russia, there are currently civilian cars being mounted on trains, and they're headed toward Ukraine. I don't know what that means. Did Vladimir Putin say, okay, well, if they're gonna shoot missiles on each of our tanks, I'm not going to send tanks anymore. We're gonna do warfare in Hyundai accents and that kind of stuff. Maybe it's what it is, or perhaps there is so much infrastructure building as it relates to the war effort. Perhaps they just need a lot of staff, a lot of people who can go unrecognized, and therefore, they're sending civilian cars. But it seems that a massive amount of civilian cars from Russia is headed toward the Ukraine border. And so perhaps what it means is they need to be able to circulate within Ukraine without necessarily being identified as military. Kremlin jet headed to Washington to fetch expelled Russian diplomats. So it seems that a jet has been coming from the Kremlin, and of course the diplomats were identified by the US government as spies, and so they were kicked from the US. So now the Kremlin is getting to bring them back to Russia. Hopefully everything goes well with this. Very shocking. Twitter has banned Eric Zemmour and Le Pen, an undeniable political censorship. The campaign accounts of these two candidates to the French election have been abolished. It creates a context of absolute unfairness in the French election. This has been made less than 24 hours after the French president Emmanuel Macron announced his candidacy to the re-election, and Twitter, boom, bans his opponents. I find this absolutely unfair. I hope that Twitter gets dragged into the ground and into inexistence for what they're doing. I can work my entire life until I see the fall of Twitter. That is so important. We cannot accept that people like this who want to play into the game of democratic fairness are led to do so. Artemis says, JF, just to further explain what I meant earlier about wokeness bringing us to this point, is that even with a peace deal, the left will continue their aggressive virtue signaling, which is perceived as a Western attack by Russia. I think this ultimately prevents peace. The left will continue their aggressive virtue signaling, even with a peace deal, which is perceived as a Western attack by Russia. And I think this ultimately prevents peace. Yes, I fully agree with this assessment. The left had been starting against Putin preemptively, you know? And the whole history of aggression, of escalation, is all a matter of preemptive attacks. See, you're always trying to prepare for the next attack. And so you say, oh, well, they're going to attack me like this, and so I should do a little more in advance so I can neutralize this. And then, oh, well, I can think that they're going to do this, so I'm going to do a little more. And so you build up an escalation in your head, which leads to, oh, my God, I have to strike 500 of their cities before within 30 seconds before they will start neutralizing my country. That's how you escalate in your head. That's how the process of escalation and fear happens. And it's a big problem of game theory and of peacekeeping, because everyone is thinking that way. Every player in the game is thinking, I have to neutralize my opponent, and it leads to preemptive strike. And in many ways, you can see the woke and how Rachel Maddow and other media went after Putin as being kind of a social preemptive strike. It's like, oh, we're going to smear this guy into the mud. We're going to make him the evil personality of the planet, just because maybe they were afraid that Putin was collaborating with Trump, as far as what they were saying. Maybe they were afraid that he would invade Ukraine. All of this is done. It's like, you cannot make a preemptive aggression your strategy for peace. A preemptive aggression will be responded to by further preemptive paranoia against your attacks. So Putin was able to know from the last 4 years, okay, America has and the whole media system of America has decided to hate me. So if anything, we've given him all the reasons to not care about the sanctions, because he knew they would come, to not care about the response of the Western world. To the contrary, we've let him prepare essentially for that by telling him in advance that he would get smeared as evil. Twitch to ban users for sharing misinformation. Philosoraptor was saying Marine Le Pen is still on Twitter. Yes, but her campaign account has been removed. So, okay, she will be there as an individual, but she can't run a campaign like all these other politicians have the right to a campaign account. Twitch to ban users for sharing misinformation, even off the platform. Broad range censorship rules. On Thursday, Amazon-owned live streaming platform Twitch announced that it had updated its policies to address misinformation super spreaders. In a blog post announcing the new rules, Twitch said that misinformation on its platform could cause real-world harm. Now the platform will not allow harmful misinformation super spreaders who persistently share misinformation on or off of Twitch. So Twitch going for the ban, even if you're spreading that misinformation outside of Twitch. It's getting more and more like this, and it's the cancel culture web just installing itself, so that whenever you'll be banned from a single place, all the other places will ban you. And ultimately, we are developing separate worlds. Separate worlds for the West, for Russia, and separate worlds for the free thinkers and those who are following the mainstream narrative. Go Away says, have you covered the WNBA player arrested in Russia? No, I haven't. What is this news item? A WNBA player has reportedly been arrested in Russia after customs found hash pens in her luggage. Well, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's not because you would get tolerated for this in Western loose nations that this is going to happen in Russia. So you probably violated a law of Russia and your arrest is probably fair. Don't be an idiot in Russia. If you really have to be an idiot in America. Because they're not going to go easy on you now. I mean, they might give you life. They might give you the maximum that they can possibly do. Because at this point, you are a pawn in a much bigger war. Go away, says, will Russia use her for political leverage? They could. I mean, they probably won't go against their own rules. So if it says in the Russian law that this is maximum 5-year sentence, they're probably going to just give maximum 5-year sentence. But yeah, she would certainly be punished maximally to the extent that it's possible. And then they might use her as part of a trade deal. Like, oh, but it's very hard to do this only. But she might be part of an ensemble of these. Perhaps there will be requests for certain, I don't know, certain releases of Russian citizens from the US, and then they would exchange her. This is all possible, but most likely she's going to be dealt with just bureaucratically, and she's going to get maximum punishment, and she's not going to be subject for a deal of any kind. Steven Robinson says, JF, will you watch UFC tonight? Masvidal versus Covington. Who you got? Oh, well, I didn't know that this was happening. I'll be watching it then. Masvidal versus Covington. Masvidal has this great, gangster type of attitude. And he's kind of trying to be Conor McGregor in terms of, oh, yeah, look, I have all this clothing and these golden braces and... but he's never charmed me to the point of being fully excited. I'll watch the fight. And then Covington, isn't that the guy with the Trump hat? It's likely that I would root for Covington, because Covington has been making some... I've not been following this closely enough to even remember. Because to me, it's not my generation of fighters. Those fighters, I forget about their fights. It's not like back in the days where I would remember every fight of Conor McGregor or every fight of GSP. I could have told you like what happens at the 10-second window. These guys, Masvidal, Covington, I remember good feelings about them, but I don't even remember their fighting style. I don't remember anything about them. That's how old I'm becoming. Testicles says, JF, course era is now removing all courses from Russian universities. There you go. Well, you know what? Since I've been publishing my book and the Western universities have not been talking about my theory much, perhaps I should just go full Russia. I should just say, you know, that this is a theory for the Russian continents. I should maybe put some sanctions on Amazon, not allow the sales of my book outside of Russia. I don't know if I should do this. Perhaps there is a hope, since they will be cut from so many official platforms. I could be like, hey, I want to be a professor at the University of Garipov. JF Garipov. Garipov. Yeah, that sounds great. All right, everyone, I'm going to sleep. Philosoraptor has sent a super chat. He says, maybe that's what they mean by the Great Reset. Bomb. Ah, well, yeah, amazingly, when you think about it, the whole nuclear risk that we are increasingly conscious of, it would be quite the reset. Not a desirable one, but quite a reset. Grapes Koda says, now that many products are banned in Russia, do you think a competitive market will bloom? Yeah, in a way, you can see that sanctions ultimately force a country to create for itself. And you could think, I don't know if this will happen, but you can imagine a future in which 2022 is the beginning of the great Russian Renaissance, and that forced to deal with themselves, forced to do everything for themselves, it could end up being a very creative country. Because when you think about it, it's just like life. You know how life evolves, and if you get something free from the environment in life, you eventually lose the inner capacity to gather it or to produce it. For example, if you are at the equator and you're a life form evolving at the equator, you will not evolve hair and capacity to take cover from massive cold, from extreme cold and extreme winter, because there's just no extreme cold at the equator. So you could think, for example, a polar bear has all sorts of adaptations to survive the cold, including thick layers of fat. If the polar bears were to migrate to the equator and some would survive, eventually they would evolve away from these adaptations. They would lose it. So in a way, being in a country and having the infinite supply of computers and technology coming from other nations that are cleverer than you and that are doing it for you, and therefore they're keeping you stupid in a way. If suddenly that doesn't exist anymore, or if you lose a part of it, suddenly you're forced to be intelligent. You're forced to be thinking and innovative. And this may very well be what happens with Russia. Careful, as I often say, in life and in evolution, most of the things you try to do, they end up having the opposite effect. And we may be trying to isolate Russia, and eventually we would cause its blooming. Stephen Robinson says, hey, Jeff, do you use MetaMask? There is new FUD, them and their partnerships with Consensus and JP Morgan and Ethereum, very interesting topic. Yes, I do have MetaMask. I trust the decentralization of it, and I know that there's been a problem. I've covered it yesterday or 2 days ago on the show. But I think it's problem with it's not with MetaMask itself. I think it's one piece of Web3 interaction that they had called something else. And I think that if you just use your MetaMask from your computer, they cannot censor you. That's my understanding. That's it for today. Would you be prepared for nuclear survival right now? 5 people consider themselves prepared for nuclear survival. 6 people are not. I'm surprised. Like, what do you guys have? Do you guys have some kind of nuclear bunker or whatever? Stephen Robinson says, MetaMask has been canceled in Venezuela. Yeah, but that's because of the local law. But if you're in Venezuela and you install MetaMask and you plug to a proxy or a VPN, then you're going to still be able to send your information to the Ethereum blockchain. So that's just MetaMask doing a little block to make it look like they don't violate the law. That I'm fine. I don't mind. People will have countermeasures against this. Much love. See you all tomorrow. We'll be right back. Thank you.